What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two Time and a Half. What's up, everybody?
You're going to spill my coffee. Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy. And welcome to Tim's Incredible World.
Salty Saul. What's cracking over in the Pittsburgh cranberry area?
It snowed.
Do they have cranberries in Cranberry?
I think it used to be some cranberry place out here. That's probably why it's called Cranberry.
Like Cranberry Field?
Two pines or one pine. What was that from Back to the Future?
Lone Pine.
Anyway, Lone Pine. There you go. Twin pines and Lone Pine. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the House impeaches Trump again, but the Senate refused to even consider the matter, so nothing happens.
Oh, God.
Trump approval rating, however, did go up since he was impeached. So Democrats, like I say, are like the Wile E. Coyote. They can never catch the Roadrunner. Oh, my God. Meep, meep. All right. More on the Capitol siege from January 6th. New evidence reveals there was a coordinated effort from leftist groups that instigated some of these riots. This was planned weeks in advance. We'll talk about that. Also, social media censorship is not done. Bombshell video from whistleblower reveals Jack Dorsey's sinister plan. Not good, ladies and gentlemen. Daily Wire, we're going to talk about this. I don't know if you guys got to see it, but Daily Wire is getting into the entertainment business. They released an awesome movie.
Yeah.
We'll give you our review. All right, all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
The Salty Show.com.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hell.
Timmy Two Times over here is two timing.
He's on the quick one there.
Jeremy's got Fleminist, right? Jeremy's got the dot com.
Dot.
Heidi, 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 welcome back.
Hi.
We missed you last week.
Did you guys cheers. Hear about the people dying everywhere from the COVID vaccine?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, really? I heard some of that.
23 yeah. people in Norway yesterday.
Yeah.
Norway? Just Norway?
Now, just Norway yesterday, 23
wait, people. Are they hold doing on, pause, a particular...
Because when you okay. say they die from the vaccine, are they getting COVID and then die or... What is happening? What are the symptoms? Because I heard about this, but I didn't read into it.
Yeah. So I've heard it a couple different ways that they're getting sick right after and then it's happening. And then so in these cases, people are reporting fever and nausea and they just think it's normal, common reactions to the vaccine. But a lot of them have just become fatal. And of course, they say in some frail patients. Oh, you mean like the disease itself?
So that's the problem with the vaccines, right? Because sometimes there's things in there that you could be allergic to and not realize it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, well, they have baby embryos and apparently in there and stuff like
yeah.
that. You know, aborted fetuses.
I guess the biggest question to me is if it's only in Norway, is it the version that they're getting in Norway?
No. It's being reported all over. Just that was the most recent report was the 23 in Norway. But they've had deaths here in the U.S. They've had them in the U.K. They've had them in. So they've had them in a lot of the
And of course, they're giving these vaccines to the elderly and the medical
professionals. First responders and elderly are the first ones. And a lot of the reports are on the elderly.
Apparently not in Hawaii. Because what's her name? What is this?
Gabbard?
The senator lady, Gabbard. Yeah, she came out saying that that the governor out there is holding it back from the elderly for some reason. So she says,
according to what I just read, that's probably a good thing, right? Is because they're saying that's where a lot of the people are dying or is with the elderly. And we know a lot of people now who have had it, including in our own household, right? And people that are. Claim to be based on if you're listening to what everybody's telling you, very high risk people that have gotten it. And the one thing I find common in every situation is one, and I know I'm not trying to get into the BS, so hold your tongue when I say this, but one is if you go to the hospital, you're not coming home. If you go to the hospital, you're dying there with COVID. I mean, if you're older and if you have an underlining issue. Because I know some people that were older that had underlining issues and they brought the doctors to the house to treat them with IVs and whatever else. So, which goes to my next one. The next thing is what I'm noticing is people that are like, they get sick and they go to bed, they cover up into their blankets and they don't take food and they don't take fluids in. They don't, there are people that deal with sickness this way, right? They are getting a much worse case of it because they're just like trying to fight it out with no treatment of any sort, right? Where those people that had a more of a success, so to speak, of coming through it, okay, were constantly eating, constantly drinking, constantly hydrating. Even though they felt like crap, they were forcing themselves to take in water, take in, you know, tea, take in soup and all those old school home remedies. And that's pretty common across the board for any virus, right?
Because you got to remember, everything about this is pretty much flu-like symptoms. The pneumonia is what puts a lot of people in the hospital because it hits your lungs and, you know, when you can't breathe, it spirals, okay? We know that. But if you have the asymptomatic stuff, all the asymptomatic, you know, when you look at everything, it's exactly what you get when you have the flu. You know what I mean? Yeah. Body shakes and colds and, you know, the loss of taste. I mean, that doesn't happen with everybody with the flu, but so you treat it the same exact way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, to your point with the pneumonia stuff, Jeremy, there's been a couple times in the past 18 months where I've gotten under the weather and I've stayed in bed like I used to. And I have my water, but I stayed in bed and Jeremy's like, you got to sit up because it keeps getting in my ears and causing infections. He says, stop laying in bed. So like stop laying flat. So I was getting into bed and then like, yeah, I'm still laying in bed, but I'm sitting upright more and then just hammering hot tea. So, and I think pneumonia, you know, again, you're letting all that stuff kind of get into different areas. And I don't know. I'm, you know, this is,
we're
just,
not doctors. Yeah. But
we're not.
I mean,
we're not for sure. It's just our experiences.
Well, look, in the, like Tim says, we're not doctors. I'm pretty sure I had it. We do.
Now, wait, we play one on podcast.
We're talking about this. You brought it up, Heidi. You bought the COVID Wuhan virus. Now, right now there's a push to open everything back up. And it looks like it's, these guys are coordinated and people are realizing, again, we were hoodwinked because we all, oh shit, you know, yeah, lock everything down. And now, and remember Biden was saying, folks, it's going to get worse before it gets better and prepare for this
100-day lockdown.
You know, they've released their agenda for the first, whatever, some 100 days, and that's in it. You know, who knows what's going to go. But what one thing I did want to mention, Tim's favorite mayor, de Blasio.
Comrade de Blasio.
Comrade de Blasio. Now, oh my God, this guy, guys, he offers a reason as to why he allowed his gym to stay open and no one else's. Now, I want to show you I need to show you this video because these people are shameless. Like they know no shame. And let me just show you this.
They have zero shame in anything. Like, but they all say, it's for your own health, but my health is more important than yours because I need to work out.
Yeah. Let me show you what he said. This is insane.
I did not for a moment think there was anything problematic because I knew the dynamics. And again, I have to stay healthy so I can make the decisions for the people of the city.
Now, he's asked, the question he's asked.
Holy shit, he seriously just said that.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He seriously just said that.
Oh my God. Yeah. And people, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. If you look at Gavin Newsom in California, right? He shut down the entire state except for his winery because it was an essential business.
Yeah.
And they got a million, and that winery got like $1 million in PPP.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, it's all a joke. It's all a joke.
It's fucking, it's sick. Now, look, for the listener, he was asked, you know, if does he see any issue with him leaving his goddamn gym open? And his response, well, you see, Lemmings, my life is obviously more important than yours, so I have to stay healthy so that I can keep you oppressed, right? What does that mean that he knew the dynamics? That's what he said. He's like, I know the dynamics. Oh, and the regular citizen can't figure out the dynamics, Mr. de Blasio? See, people are not angry enough at these cocksuckers. I'm livid because we gave these fools an inch and they, like Tim says, they're taking the whole yard. So
You brought it up, Heidi, and I had to mention this because these guys are again shameless,
a piece of shit.
But I thought New York and I thought New York Cuomo came out saying we need to reopen right away.
The problem is the Blasio. Yeah. He made sure to keep everything locked down in New York City worse than Long Island. Like literally, like dude, where I grew up, right? Floor Park. There's Floor Park Queens, Floor Park Long Island, right? Restaurant on this side is in Queens. This side's in Long Island. This restaurant in Long Island, fully open indoor dining. This restaurant in Queens, completely locked down. No outdoor dining, no indoor dining,
holy
no nothing.
Shit.
Okay. So you mean to tell me that
right across
the street, I'm not even like
building shares a wall almost.
This one's open. This one's closed because
what the
because COVID only exists in the city, not Long Island. People need to be upset about this, but people praise this. They go, thank you, your leaders.
And like Nelson said, right? It's this lemmings. They're all lemmings. They're all, whatever, commando, you know, comrade Cuomo.
That's why I love what they did in Italy. In Italy, you know what they did?
No.
All the restaurants in unison, you know what they did? Opened up. They said, they said, F you guys. Yeah. We're done with you.
Yeah. You can't stop all of them.
That's what everybody needs
exactly.
to do. Exactly.
They
what
were
they
in unison, and now Italy's like, fuck it. We're open.
Yeah.
Like, you force the government's hand. The government doesn't force your hand.
Right. Well, apparently not in ours, because...
Okay, so let's talk about the censorship then. Jack Dorsey, okay? He has been exposed that he intends to start censoring more conservatives. And I don't know who recorded him, but this was a private call, and Project Veritas released the video of him on screen. I don't know if you guys have been able to see it.
So,
but so let me see if I can find it. Here it is.
So the backstory behind this, the backstory is he did this in like to all, you know, he had like an internal 5,000, you know, all the Twitter employees. He had like a town hall.
Okay.
Apparently he said in the town hall, and the person who gave the video to Project Veritas worked at Twitter and literally they recorded the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. And gave it to them to open it up because
but this doesn't look, this looks like, I don't think this doesn't look like a town hall. This is not. So let me play. I thought this was the video, but I apparently got the wrong link, but this is the video. Tucker Carlson talks about this. So let me show you Tucker Carlson's summary on this and then we'll talk about it. So here we go. Hold on.
Jack Dorsey is the CEO of Twitter. He only looks like a pothead. Actually, he's pretty clever. He takes the long view on these things. Thanks to James O'Keefe at Project Veritas, we know that Jack Dorsey has plans for the rest of us that will extend far beyond the Trump era. Silencing Donald Trump was just the beginning. Guess who's next? You are! Watch.
We are focused on one account right now, but this is going to be much bigger than just one account, and it's going to go on for much longer than just this day, this week. I don't believe this is going away anytime soon, and the moves that we're making today around QAnon, for instance, is one such example of a much broader approach that we should be looking at and going deeper on.
So he doesn't. It doesn't look to me like this is a professional business call, but I'll take Tim's word for it. But again, if you hear what he says, you know, he's referring to Trump. He's not the only one, and we're going to continue this. And so their intent is to censor conservatives. And let me continue playing this because Tucker Carlson makes a great point and it needs to be emphasized. So keep playing this.
So this is, quote, much bigger than silencing just one man, and it's going to go on much longer than just this week. So maybe Jack Dorsey isn't so bright. He just admitted out loud what the rest of them are still denying. This isn't really about Donald Trump. It never was. It's definitely not about what happened last week at the Capitol. It is about controlling you and the country you thought was yours forever. Sorry. There's a national crisis going on, and we have no choice.
So one thing that Trump said during when he was out campaigning, he would say this point every now and then, but he made it a few times, where he said, "Folks, they're not coming for me; they're coming for you, and I'm just in the way." Twitter right now, with what's been revealed, is basically admitting that they're coming for more conservatives. Why? You know, for disinformation, for violence. again, this is censorship. Now, to show you the hypocrisy that Twitter, Twitter's hypocrisy, basically, this week they came out condemning censorship. Twitter did. In Uganda.
Uganda.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Uganda.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. So you know what happened, right? Real quick. Yeah. You know what happened, yeah. right? So in Uganda, they were having their elections and Twitter, Facebook, and all them. They were censoring politicians yeah. doing the same thing they're doing here.
They
so you
shut
know,
down the internet.
Yeah. They shut down. They yeah. banned.
Uganda.
Yeah. You, shut the down Ugandan Uganda. Government yeah. banned Facebook and Twitter right. from
Wonderful.
The net. And they
we
got upset
the
about it.
We should do the same thing. Yeah. Well, we should do the same thing.
Yeah, so they do this, and Twitter obviously didn't like it. Oh, why Twitter? Because now you can't influence elections, and it wasn't just in Uganda. Right now, I believe in Idaho. Was it Idaho? Some northwestern
yeah,
no, state.
Yeah, northern in northern Idaho, like some area, they actually yeah. said, "Oh, you're censoring." They did the same thing. They you know
well,
blacklisted
some internet service
Twitter
providers. It wasn't Idaho, ISPs. But it was. Some ISPs, they said,
yeah, the ISPs.
Okay, if Twitter and Facebook feel like they can censor, well, this is a two-way street, folks. And I think a lot of conservative states and conservative organizations, they need to start doing this. This is a battle. Okay. Ooh. Now, Facebook and Twitter, look, Jeremy, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking, dude. But here's the deal. We always take the position of defense, and it's not working. This position of defense is not working, folks. Now, Facebook and Twitter, they lost a combined of $50 billion after they censored Trump. Do you think that stopped them? No.
Nope.
They're going to go full steam ahead. And look, if corporations can do, what they like, then why do leftists demand for quotas on women in positions of management or gender neutral bathrooms? You know how like they demand, oh, well, I thought companies could do what they want, guys, or paid maternity leave, right? Why don't we impose these things on companies, or companies to provide mandatory healthcare plans? Why don't leftists just go and create their own companies instead of ruining good ones? Because they wouldn't make money,
well,
folks.
Wouldn't make money. Sounds to me like Jack Dorsey and Zuckerberg are leftists, and they did create their platform. And now that they have control over everybody, they're doing what they want with it.
They don't only have control. Away. You see, this is what people aren't understanding. The reason why they can do this, it's not also because they have control over the people. They have control over the government. When the government is not saying, the DOJ from influence. That video... From that video right there, the DOJ should have slapped him with a subpoena, and and they should have been going into there and saying, time out, guys.
Right.
This is a violation, or the Supreme Court. This is a violation of the First Amendment. Yes, you're a private company, but when you're saying you're dead out censoring, and now this is a platform for free speech, I don't care what anybody says. If you're allowing free speech and then silencing that speech, I get. If you're presenting clear and present danger, I get it. You can, but you got to prove that,
Yeah. Look,
people are pedophiles is not inciting a riot. You know what
even
I mean? Burning buildings
in their reason that they shut down Trump's account, right? They didn't show, look at it, folks. Here's the tweet. Here's the line where he incited violence. They didn't do that.
Yeah.
All they did
never
is
incited
Trump incited violence. We shut down his account. Where's the evidence, folks? Which tweet? Show us the evidence. But see, this is how they get away with it. Now, Poland, they passed legislation that will ban social media companies that censor speech that is protected under their constitution. You know, it would make sense that we would do the same thing. Folks, if our constitution protects this right, why do social media companies now, who are very powerful, and it shows that they are because they censored the president of the United States? Okay, this is how serious this is that they censored the leader of the free world. Now, a lot of presidents from other countries, they started realizing this is serious, right? Because this is the new means for a president to be able to get out their message. They all know this. AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, president of Mexico.
Oh my God.
I know. AMLO for short. vows to introduce issues to address the increased censorship practices from some of these big tech companies. Now, like I said, I think world leaders are realizing that, hey, if they can do this to Trump, they can do this to anyone so the left disagrees with.
What is the AMLO?
Just say AMLO.
The Mexican president, what is he going to do? Is he going to basically tell every ISP in Mexico, block Twitter, block Facebook, block...
He's got to hold them accountable. You got to change the rules.
Or is he going to go after them?
He's going to go to the G20, right? At the G20, where all the other countries get together or whatever. He's going to introduce some whatever. I don't know what they pass, but, you know, things that they can all agree on, right? And say, hey, this is an issue that we need to focus on.
Wouldn't it be better for the fight if entire countries just said, screw it. Yeah. You're no longer allowed to get to Facebook. You're no longer allowed to get to Twitter. Hey. That is going to hit them, and it's going to hit them hard.
You have the only way to win a war is you have to beat them where it counts. You can win a lot of little battles in court, but if you, their bottom line is wealth, stock. Yeah. If you beat them in their pocketbook, they have to adapt.
I have a thing.
Unless the government's going to keep bailing them out.
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah. You just said Facebook and Twitter lost $50 billion over the last month.
Valuation.
So what happens when they get to the point where they're actually hurting for money? Because right now they're cash rich, right? They've got money coming out of their butts. But what happens when they get down to we're actually kind of hurting for money now? Is the government, Mr. Joe Biden, Mrs. Kamala Harris, going to come in and bail him out?
Yeah.
After he gives the 11 million illegal immigrants money.
Yeah.
Let's take care of that first on the 22nd.
It's even worse than that, Jeremy, because the Biden administration is already giving these people jobs. Okay. Yeah. So this is how in bed with each other they are. So Biden is rewarding these people who helped them win. And I say win in quotation marks because this guy
helped
did not
cheat.
Win. Exactly. Help them cheat. Exactly. Facebook gave billions of dollars in election, whatever. And we all know what that was for. It was to hide the fact that they were going to cheat. Now, we can talk about this issue about censorship because I think it's only going to get worse as weeks start coming along. Now, there's a video that came out that a friend of ours sent to us, and it makes you think, dude. I don't know. Did you see? I think you did see that video that our friend sent him. It's a theory, but to me, it makes a lot of sense, and I shared it on my Facebook. And the idea is that what the left plans to do is either take out Biden, either through assassination or something.
They have the built-in answer already. The representative from wherever is already threatening to impeach him the day he gets into office.
Listen to this theory, because this is actually. Yeah.
Because this is,
well, I'm just saying, there's many avenues to get him out of office.
No, they've already started. This one is dark.
This isn't about. This is the dark one.
Let me play this because
I don't like the video, but it's a dangerous video. It's a very dangerous video.
Let me play this because again, this is, and again, we there is no evidence of this, and the. That this is what's happening. People are speculating. We have to say that. But it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, a lot of times I'm going to show you guys videos of, you know, before we went through this Q, the rabbit hole, you know, a lot of people, there was a lot of people, skeptical people. And a lot of what has been said about these groups are turning out to be true. Yeah, there's some stuff that's, you know, far out there. But, you know, some people are realizing a lot of the people who were wearing the tinfoil hats saying shit was coming, and now it's here that they were planning to cheat, and that all that evidence is now, you know, there, and yet we're still inaugurating a senile man into office. Now I want you to hear this because this is going to go deep. But let me play this.
I've been praying and meditating on it a lot, and I think I figured out what's going on. So. And we have to stop it. We have to stop it. And the only way is to talk about it. And we need boots on the ground, but not with guns. They need to have cameras. because this is what I believe is going to happen. They are going to assassinate Joe Biden at the inauguration. Kamala Harris will have already been sworn in as vice president, so she becomes president, and it fixes all of their problems. They're going to blame it on a Trump supporter. Shutting down social media helped them in the way that what they're doing right now is they're building a profile for the past. And people will say, well, why didn't we see anything about this on the internet? And they'll say, we blocked his account. Once it happens, so the Capitol protest where they had people storm the Capitol, what that set up is now what they're doing is nobody's going to be in D.C. So there's no cameras on the ground. They can't pull this off if there's a bunch of people with cameras taking video while it's happening. If they manage that, because I believe that Biden's dying anyway, so he's willing to be the sacrificial lamb. So once they take him out and blame it on a Trump supporter, it invalidates the whole Trump movement. It makes it so people can't question the election anymore because of sympathy. It wins middle America. Gives sympathy to the Democrats. They can do anything they want at that point. Initiates martial law. Starts the gun grab. And on top of that, we can't attack Joe Biden's family anymore. And they can't investigate him anymore because of sympathy. Because he's gone. And if he's dying anyway, he doesn't care. So we need to be talking about this to stop it from happening. Okay. Because if we're talking about it, it will stop it from happening. But I am convinced that this is the plan because it sews up every loose end and it gets them everything they want immediately on Inauguration Day. It's all over and it is over because they will start rounding us up if that happens.
So look, I don't think this is too far fetched from what he says. A lot of things are unfolding that are very weird. Number one, the number of troops in D.C. A friend of ours said, the number of troops in D.C. right now is more people than voted for Biden. It's 20 some thousand troops out in D.C. right now. They're putting up barriers. 30,000. So, you know, again, like they're speculating that something else is coming up what are they anticipating that people are going to storm the Capitol again? Do you see what I'm saying? Like it seems very weird. And for the people who hate walls and police, there's a lot of that stuff right now in Washington, D.C. That is getting implemented by those same people. Yeah.
So, you know, what everybody's so focused on Washington. But what people aren't focusing on, Lansing, Michigan, state capital, National Guard is deployed there, guys. Thousands of troops are in Michigan right now in Lansing.
Wasn't there California. Some sort of push to run all of the capitals during the inauguration?
Apparently.
I shouldn't say run them, but protest in front of them.
Right. But now in California, same thing. There's thousands of troops surrounding Gavin Newsom's mansion in Sacramento in the state capital. Something bigger is going on here. Like, well, so you wouldn't send in the National Guard. Hold on. When you are burning the cities down, burning buildings, shooting cops, destroying everything over the summer, nothing to see here. We don't need that because that's his brown coat. Now, all of a sudden, it's okay to bring in National Guard because you think that Trump supporters are going to go storm the Capitol. We got better things to do, guys. Go to work.
Like work.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Going to work.
But then the question is, okay, so if it's leftist people who are doing this, which it looks like it is, because or else they would all be crying about why this police state right now, because that's what they would be saying. But that's it's becoming, and so you got to ask yourself, what are they preparing for? What are their plans that they expect people to be storming these capitals? Do you see what I'm saying? Like. The Trump supporters don't do this shit, I have video to show you that the what happened at the Capitol turns out to be more and more like it was planned, and it was planned by leftist groups, and so this is crazy, dude. And the fact that people are willfully blind to this, they are. There's a lot of people who are willfully. They don't want to research. They don't want to look into this. They don't, you know, because like we all say, they're living their life. They're going to work. And okay, great. You're about to lose your country because you're not paying attention to what's happening. So I'm constantly, you know, posting this stuff, and I'm trying to be as vocal as I can on social media, because these things need to be brought to daylight. That way people remember, you know, when shit starts happening, that people will be like, well, you know what? We heard about this. So we need to be aware and awake and not be fools to think that the government has our best interest. They obviously don't. They shut the country down for almost all last year. They allowed cities to burn. These people don't have your interest. These people have their own interest, their own power in mind. And that's what they're going to do. And again, the deep state appears to be in high gear right now. And, you know, let me show you this video here. And you tell me if this looks like it's going to be a Zoom call inauguration, because that's what they said, that this was going to be a Zoom call inauguration. Oh, God. Come on.
Okay. Well, it's a streaming inauguration inside the White House. That's great, because it just nullifies everything that last guy just said. They can't kill him during the inauguration because.
But 25,000 troops in D.C. Okay. And Mayor Bowser came out and said, she goes, oh, get used to it. This is what D.C. is going to look like in Joe Biden's
But
America.
look at what you see here on this. This, they're boarding up. They're preparing. They're preparing for riots. They didn't do this during BLM.
This is in Washington, D.C.?
This is in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
They're boarding up windows. They're the first floor. They're preparing for something big. Now, what do they think is going to happen? And to me, I think that they, like that guy says, they're planning something big. And something big would be the assassination of a president and them starting to impose fucking crazy shit that is going to make people get angry. Conservatives get angry and say, no, you cannot impose this. Yeah. Yeah.
Even the other side, people forget that.
You're right.
The other, you know, when you look, BLM, Antifa, they haven't stopped. Last night, they were all over Manhattan calling cops pussies and everything like that, and calling everything under the sun. So you have that side. Now you have conservatives starting to protest. You're losing control, okay? You start boarding things up and tell people you can't do shit. They're already saying, we want change. And by locking you down, you ain't giving them change, because now they're locked down by the police that they hate. Tim, you're enraging them even more.
They lost control. But he won 80 million votes. So how could, you know, who won 80 million votes? Look at him. Look at this. See now, man. He's lost. Look at him. This guy is the guy who won 80 million votes and the most popular president ever, preparing for a siege at the Capitol. 80 million
look
votes.
At him.
And he looks fucking lost. He's useless. And so... I don't know. There's something sinister.
Manipulated
is
media.
Plan.
Yep. Right. So, like I said earlier, there's lots of ways of getting him out. Right. You can assassinate him. You can 25th Amendment him for being mentally gone. You can impeach him. They've already got at least three of these things.
Right. But
started.
But what's the only way to be able to tell the American people, we need to get rid of guns. We need to get rid of all your rights. The government needs to take control because Trump supporters are crazy. Okay? There has to be something extreme. Impeaching somebody, that's not extreme. That's procedure. You know, 25th Amendment, procedure. You know, martial law and something big that needs to be, you know, to claim martial law. Yeah, it's go big or go home for martial law. You can't say, well, we're afraid somebody might storm the Capitol. Martial law. No, that just doesn't make sense to people.
Right.
It has to be something catastrophic.
Right. Yeah. So, right.
See,
but what I'm saying is if the goal is to get him out of office, there's lots of ways to do that. If you want to, like the guy said, you know, if you want a very big sweeping movement that basically does everything that they want to do within the first 100 days, then you fake an assassination on Biden. And you start grabbing guns. Good luck with that. And, you know, all Trump supporters need to go to rehabilitation and learn how they become bad people.
I joked with our chat just to, get some people riled up on the Q shit. I was like, you know what should happen at 11:59 a.m. Trump should initiate the Insurrection Act, martial law. They're all there. Arrest them all. No,
Look, I said that as a joke,
but
I think there's another side of this too. That I mean, we're all obviously we're all conservatives here, so we're you know we're looking at this from a one side of it. But let's think also the conservative people as a whole have a lot of highly sophisticated, talented,
well trained.
So does the left.
People, and especially well-trained, you know, when it comes to like Green Berets and Navy SEALs and Delta Force and a lot of those. And I can see where the Democrats need to be scared of somebody sitting up there in the bushes, so to speak, a mile and a half, 2 miles away, because their weapons will do it. You know, well, not quite that far, but you get my point.
Right.
Quite a distance. And you've got the perfect opportunity to get rid of the three most horrific people in our world right now. Biden, Harris, and Pelosi, and they're all going to be on that podium, standing up there.
If anybody's listening,
on that podium, I'm not saying I condone it. I never said I condone it. I said we're not thinking about the true threat, because it is a threat out there. I'm sure. Whether you're a left, whether you're a right, whether you're a conservative, Republican, Democrat, I don't care. But let's be realistic. The talent is out there. The talent is out there, and we really do have that big of a threat on our country.
So I agree
with
you.
Three people standing at that podium.
I agree with you that the threat is there, but let's look at also the facts of let's look at 2020. Okay, what they blame Governor Whitmer, her kidnapping. They tried blaming Trump supporters, and then what did it come out to be? It was the opposite that was trying to kidnap her. Okay, mm-hmm. People that hated Trump and hated big government and everything. Try kidnapping her, but they tried pinning it on Trump supporters. Over the summer.
Who is this?
Whitmer in Michigan.
The Michigan governor was kidnapped. They foiled.
There was a plan to kidnap her. But they tried saying that it was Trump supporters.
So they found this plan.
Yeah, the DOJ and FBI.
DOJ finds a plan and just naturally assumes it was Trump supporters.
No, the media portrayed it as these people.
So just like they're doing now.
The Department of Justice comes out and says, we've uncovered a plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan.
And they tried blaming Trump.
And the media immediately hopped on and said, oh, Trump supporters.
She even came out and said that she blamed Trump for it because he incites violence on everybody.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But that's what they're doing now with the Capitol stuff.
Hold on. Then number two, this weekend, the FBI just arrested a crazy leftist in Florida that was trying to storm Tallahassee. And he had a whole plan of shooting that up and kidnapping Trump supporters. But he was fully trained in the military. I believe he might have been a Beret. And he also trained in Syria with YPG. They have pictures of him. And Vice apparently did a whole thing on him training with the Antifa group YPG out of Syria. So this is what we're dealing with, guys. It's on both sides.
Well, they've already reported that the arrests from the U.S. Capitol, they've already been reporting that those people are Antifa.
We cannot be asleep here. And I think this is, you know, if we say, well, you know, that can never happen. You guys got to remember that these people, they did mock scenarios of what could happen. And in every one of their scenarios that they did, one of the branches that was loyal to the president is the military. But I think Heidi's right in the sense that, you know, I don't think the military would turn on the American people, and not especially at such a scale. They would have to do this in a systematic way. So I don't think it'll happen all of a sudden. They'll be like, okay, everybody, all their guns. No, they would do it slowly. And they would use events like, say, for example, the assassination of a president to impose these things. There's another thing that's unfolding at the border today. Coincidentally, right at when Biden gets inaugurated, there's a caravan of some thousands of people that are coming from Honduras.
Millions. And 11 million.
Well, I don't know if that many, but there's a lot of them that are coming. Now, infiltrated within those groups are people who are not, you know, these are like, you know, trained people who from outside the country who have bad intentions, who have, you know, if you remember, I think this was a couple years ago, they uncovered some Al-Qaeda training places out in New Mexico or some terrorist training shit. So this is happening on our soil, and this is more coordinated than we think. They were able to successfully steal this election in front of our – dude, there was so much video evidence of this, and it's happening. They're taking this away. So, you know, when I see them putting up boards and preparing for the apocalypse, that's what it looks like to me, because they're boarding up things that have 20, 30,000 troops, building walls, and putting barbed wire. This is in Washington, D.C., and they're doing this for the most popular president in American history, 80 million votes. Something doesn't add up here. Something does not add up, and something's going to happen. Now,
Airbnb, even Airbnb,
yeah,
canceled all reservations in D.C. All reservations that people had for the inauguration or whatever for this next week.
Time frame?
Yeah, from Sunday to, I believe they canceled it till Friday, because just the buffer days. They canceled all reservations in D.C. Dude, they shut down bridges in and out of D.C. You're shutting bridges down. So people in D.C. can't even get out. You know what I mean?
Like martial law already.
Like, things have been done. Like, these are things people aren't talking about. If you are stuck, you can't get in or out now. Okay? Unless you have even a bus. I saw a video of a Metro bus trying to make a turn. They stopped him. He didn't have the right paperwork. He had to back up and turn around. A public transport bus. Public Metro, okay? Something big, this ain't conspiracy. Something crazy is either being talked about, looked at. This is America. They are, D.C. right now, when you look at, somebody did a picture. The green zone in Iraq and D.C. looks identical. Mm. Okay?
Saul, you're right. It's 6,500 people coming up from Honduras right now.
Yeah.
The 11 million number is the million of like all the illegal immigrates Biden wants to on the 21st, 22nd. Yeah,
he wants to legalize.
Yeah.
So look, there's right now this leads me into the conversation of what happened last week and how they were able to successfully. And I say successfully because most conservatives don't believe this. And I'm talking to more and more people and they're like, dude, Hispanics who are reaching out to me and saying, hey man, I voted for this. And again, two more this week were just messaging me. The more time goes by, the more I realize this guy did not win. Now, let's go back last week, January 6th, or maybe a week ago. Now, there's more evidence coming out that that siege was planned and it was coordinated. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to show you a video because there was a lot of chaos there, but at the same time, there was some coordination. And I want you to see this video because you'll see both the chaos and the coordination. And all you need is a few key people who are getting the orders and who can, what is that term when you corral people? You know, you can guide people a certain way. Like, you know how a sheepdog does with sheep? Is able to make them go a certain way. Herding, exactly. So they were able to do this with these crowds. And so let me show you this video. And then you got to wonder, where are they getting the orders from?
Yeah, don't break stuff. You don't want to be liable. Hey, you break it, you buy it.
Yeah, I'm not.
So I'm not.
This is our house.
Hey, don't break shit.
People are on the Senate floor. Get over there.
Wait, they said people are on the Senate floor. Get over there. Hey, you break it, you buy it. So if you break something, you're responsible.
They report everything. They're going to do vandalism and shit. Vandalize anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you break something, you are responsible.
We're all going to probably get in trouble for what we're doing at some point in time.
Just don't break it. Hey, where's the Senate floor? They said go to the Senate floor.
So if this video shows a lot of things. And I'm going to see if I can
do it. Police are just standing there. Yeah, did you see that in the one picture?
That's exactly what I was going to point out.
Police are standing in the hallway just watching everybody.
Exactly. They're just watching. They're not even doing it. Now, to me, if this is a terrorist attack, you would think that the cops would be fighting to their last breath. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, now, there's a couple more things as you watch this video. And for the listener, basically what you're seeing is somebody recording, and there's a lot of chaos. A lot of people who are in there, you see them wearing their MAGA gear, and they're taking pictures. They're looking outside. They're, you know, seeing where they're at because they've never been here before. But then at the same time, you hear the guy who's recording, he's getting messages from somewhere, right? Somebody's messaging him something that says, hey, get to the Senate floor. They're all there. And so he's now trying to push the crowd to go over there. But at the same time, you can hear people around saying, you know, people who are trying to maintain calm, they're like, don't break anything, guys. It's, you know, we're just here peacefully protesting. You hear the chaos. And then the camera pans to the hallway and you see people walking and the cops just standing there. This is the DC.
So you,
yeah,
multiple, go ahead.
You got to remember, part of what those cops need to do is their main job is to make sure that nobody messes with the representatives or the senators.
Right.
So there's a lot of videos that came out that show the cops that some of them were doing absolutely nothing. But what you didn't see was that guy looking over, you know, some of the cops looking and, oh, they see who's in those other rooms with the door not closed and not protected. So they were trying to make sure to get people out of the way so they didn't go near those representatives or senators. Because their main job, number one, is to protect those people. So there's more things that we don't see, and it's easy to judge. That's all.
But again, the police are also there because the American people are allowed in that building.
Exactly.
They were allowed in the building during the hearings. They were allowed in there.
Let's remember how AOC and a lot of these fucking representatives, right, Democrats, are saying that they're scared for their life.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're being drama.
They're being fucking drama, and we need to. This is why.
Yep.
I understand what you're saying, Tim. I understand what you're saying. But see, we have to counterpunch, okay? We have to counterpunch that nonsense with reality. And the reality is that if this is a fucking terrorist attack, because how they're labeling it, domestic terrorism, I don't think cops would be just standing there watching domestic terrorists, okay? That's the reality.
And they were claiming that those people were armed. I didn't see any weapons.
So
right. I didn't see
what
any
I'm
weapons.
Is, what I'm saying is, everyone's like real quick to go after you got to make that split decision and go, okay, there maybe not be a threat right now, but let me get them away from the people they might threaten if they get a hold of them.
No,
we've never been in that position either.
When I make the case, with what we are being told by CNN, MSNBC and all this, the cesspool of liars. Okay. This is how I'm approaching this. If this is a terrorist organization, that cop is not doing his job. Okay? That's how I'm presenting the case.
He should have shot everybody.
However, exactly. If this is a terrorist organization and these people are going to shoot representatives, that cop should have had his gun drawn and pointing at people. But it wasn't. Because it wasn't a terrorist attack. And here's the other true reality.
If it was a terrorist attack, that cop wouldn't be roaming around with a weapon in his hand. The first thing they would have done was disarm him.
He'd be dead.
Take full control and take full control. Nobody's saying
that he's not doing his job. He's doing his job.
No, but even last week, we were like, oh, look, the cop just let him up the stairs and directed him. It's like, no, he was trying to.
All right. You know, so let me play this. Here's another video. And to me, this is a little bit more angering because this is the deep state holding information. Not only from the American people, but from the president himself, okay, that the FBI was hiding information that they knew there were plans to storm the Capitol even before Trump went up and spoke, and yet none of that information got to the president. And let me play this video here.
Monday, January 4th, 2 days before the attacks, the FBI had intelligence that they felt credible enough that there were multiple people planning an attack, talking about killing police officers at the Capitol. They briefed it to the Joint Terrorism Task Force here in Washington. The Capitol Police were alerted to it. The Metropolitan Police were alerted to it. Separately, NYPD received similar information through its intelligence unit. Now, here's something I confirmed today. None of that intelligence got to President Trump. Huh. They also learned that the effort to breach the Capitol started 20 minutes before the president's speech started. Yep. And we now tonight have evidence from the FBI, an affidavit, that one of the instigators, one of the people charged with involvement in this, is a liberal anarchist activist named John Sullivan, previously charged in Utah in another violent riot that occurred during the summer. The FBI today charged him with participating in this, the first of what I think maybe as...
Okay, so there's a couple points that need to be made about this, and I'm going to lay out the evidence here. So the FBI knew that they had credible evidence that there was going to be an attack. Why wouldn't they share this information to the president, who could have, you know, said, hey, FYI, Washington, D.C. mayor or whoever, you should be prepared because there are people who are going to do this. Maybe we should have more, you know, either military or something present.
National
because
Guard.
The FBI has credible evidence. OK, now that's clear. Now, here is. Because what happened afterwards was the news media went hysterical. I'm not kidding you. They domestic terrorism, Trump, racist, Nazis in at the Capitol, and pearl clutching everywhere. So it turns out that some of the people who were, you know, and he just mentioned it, John Sullivan, an anarchist, was in there, and he's now being charged. Now, a video came out that was leaked of a CNN reporter by the name of Jade Sacker, who was caught on camera admitting that they did something.
She was with him.
Yeah,
she was
exactly.
with Sullivan.
She was with Sullivan. So so this is what's clear, okay? And I'm just saying allegedly, but it's so clear, dude. They're admitting on camera that they instigated the siege. Okay? This is what they let me play this to you, and I'm gonna because it's hard, sometimes it's hard to listen, so I'm gonna try to tell you exactly what they said. Watch this video. This is a CNN contributor. Okay?
I'm actually shocked they didn't take it down.
Let me play this here.
I'll give you your hug now. We did it. You were right. We did it.
Dude, I was trying to tell you. I couldn't say much.
You were right.
You just have to wash my chest.
Oh, my God.
Is this not going to be the best film you've ever made in your life? No.
That's it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
Wait, you were recording, were you?
I'll delete that shit. But I didn't record you or me. It was just voices.
Okay. All right. So for the listener, I'm going to tell you what was said. But first of all, just by watching this video, you know, like Tim said, she's with that BLM guy, John Sullivan. He's arrested now.
Antifa. He's Antifa.
Antifa. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because there's a whole article about him.
Okay. So the second thing to notice, just based on how they're talking to each other, they sound happy and unafraid. Okay? Again, domestic terrorism, you would think, is this how you would react around an Al-Qaeda siege? Happy and cheering? Right? They're not fearful of terrorism. Okay. Now, another point to make, and I think the most damning of all with this video, and the fact that the news media is not jumping on this and say, well, why is a reporter hanging out with this guy, you know? They appear to be besties. And then you realize that they're all one and the same. They're all on the same team. John Sullivan infiltrated this movement, the MAGA folks, and instigated that Capitol siege. That's what they're admitting to. So, and then he goes on TV later on that night with her.
Anderson Cooper.
And they're shocked. Like, oh my God, you know. And when I saw this, it reminded me of, I don't know, there's a few years ago, and it's this logic, okay? A few years ago, there was this girl who had a boyfriend who was suicidal. I don't know if you guys remember this. And she was texting him and encouraging him to commit suicide so she could get sympathy. He commits suicide, and they investigate her, and they charge her. because even though she didn't do it, she was texting him, you should, you know, just fucking do it. You know, that it's like, what? And then on social media, she was like, oh, I'm devastated and this and that. To me, this is the same kind of logic these people are using. They encourage this bullshit and then go on TV and are like, oh my God, it was traumatic. Fuck you, dude. Now, let me tell you exactly what they said. And to the listener, you know, cause I know it's hard to hear, but she starts off with saying, which is weird. She's like, I'll give you your hug now. We did it. You were right. We did it. Okay. Did what? He responds with, dude, I was trying to tell you I couldn't say much. Why couldn't he say much? He was, you know, people were listening in. And she's like, you were right. And then he says something like, you just have to watch my, I don't know what he says, my channel, something.
Watch my channel.
Watch my channel. Yeah.
Watch his channel.
And so then you go and you're like, well, what is in his channel? And then you realize it's this fucking anarchist bullshit. And so then, and he's like, oh my God. And then he says, is this not going to be the best film you've ever made in your life? So again, they did all this to get video. It's the same logic that girl, oh, it's sympathy. Oh, so they promote this bullshit so that they can get a good video. And then so she, realizing that he has his camera rolling, she says, wait, you're not recording, right? And he responds with, I'll delete that shit. But I didn't record you earlier. I just did voices, he said. But he didn't delete it because it's out there now on the internet. So,
well, the other part of the video that the listener needs to be aware of is you can see people in the background walking around. There is everything there is peaceful. Yeah. There are children there. There are children there, and it is extremely peaceful. People are talking. They're looking around. There is no violence. There's no threat.
I
want to
say,
no fear.
I want to say something on that video as well. To Heidi's point, they have those little velvet ropes that you find at like movie theaters and stuff lined up. The one lady walked to the end, walked around the rope and followed the rope in. She didn't want to cross over the rope. Yeah. If you're a horde of rapers and murderers and rioters, you don't walk around the velvet rope, people.
And look at the kind of masks some of them were wearing. Some of them are wearing like the heavy duty. They're not regular masks. They're the ones to make sure that if you're tear gassed, for example, you don't get their gas masks. That's what I was looking for.
There's two things here. Number one, this was a coordinated attack. And what's interesting, some shit's coming out about Jaden X. His father was a general in the United States Air Force. He actually got kicked out. You want to know why?
Why?
He got caught in a shady deal transferring nuclear fuses via Taiwan. And then but the paperwork, you know, disappeared and it was forced retirement. Yeah. But there's something not right about this. Number two, I understand it's the Capitol, it's the people's building. But if it's like a closed session and you have to follow the rules, like being in there, like you shouldn't be storming into the fucking thing to begin with. Like, you know, just because somebody kicked in the fence and it's opening the door.
I'm
not going in there. Hold on. Everybody's looting and we're going, look at all those people stealing. It's the same shit.
Hold on. Because something needs to be said about this, because while I'm with you that maybe this wasn't the right time, I disagree with you in. Okay, we need to read what the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence says. One of the first few paragraphs says, when it becomes evident that, instead of butchering it, let me read it. Because they say when a government gets too powerful, it is the right and the duty of the people to not peacefully overthrow. Let me read to you this because we forget this shit, man.
I think it even says using all force.
No. It's not even about that. But if you're going to say what they did was great, but then when somebody breaks a window and goes steal shit, I mean, you're essentially all running into a building that you shouldn't be in to begin with.
Yeah, but nobody's running into the building. Like,
it was all fenced off. They broke the fence down.
They didn't break the fence down. They show video.
No, they were doing this. They got some of the fence down. Some of the other places the cops let them in. Yes, I've all seen the videos.
Again, look, we have to read this because yes, while we try to pick people as terrorists, the laws that are there, because everybody came out saying, well, you know, we are a nation of laws and this and that. And okay, there are things there that are put in place to protect the citizenry. Okay, there's laws there. Now, when it becomes, so let me read to you. This is the Declaration of Independence. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter the former systems of government, right? This is the reason they declared independence, because of abuses of power. Now, I'll give you that. Maybe we're not there yet, but we are seeing so much corruption. And again, to me, the stealing of an election. And
so now think about this. We feel, because we see it as an abuse of power, but right. Then you have 150 million other citizens who don't. Okay, so who's right and who's wrong? You have to look at this and go.
See, but
we
okay,
don't
this is
speak
where,
for the whole country.
Right, right.
We
so
don't speak
here
for the
is,
whole country.
And let me tell you this: the same argument can be made during that time. You don't think that there 100%. Are people who are loyal to Britain and the founders who said this did not have a reason to, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not a popularity thing. See, it is a who is right thing. Okay. And we obviously we all believe that we have the evidence on our side. Okay. The fact that they didn't even want to hear the evidence to me shows an abuse of power. Okay. So look, we can go down a road of that. I don't think neither of us is, adequate enough to talk about, right? Constitutional
exactly.
law, right? Yeah. So, however, I can express my opinion, and I can say here, look, we feel that there is going to be a threshold that's crossed or reached where we have to say, look, there is no other means today, and if we let this go further, you know, there in order to get out of it, it's going to require thousands of years of or hundreds of years of struggle, because this is where we're headed. This is where we're headed if we do not defend, and if we just let these people gain inch by inch, we will lose everything. At some point in time, something's going to got to give. And I don't know if it's at this time or it's not. But look, the protections there, because a lot of people will talk about, well, that's a sacred building and that's this and that. Okay, those same people making those arguments could care less about what these people did to cities when they burned those places down and they destroyed people's livelihood. And they want to talk about a building. See, the laws are put in place to protect the citizenry, okay? And when you take on a position of power, you better be prepared to be scared of the citizenry who now is angry at what you're doing.
I agree. When I see what came, it's almost like it was, everything was in unison. It's like everybody had every single talking point ready to go to push mm-hmm. this narrative for the next 2 weeks, to push some weird agenda, right? Because right after it happened, AOC and all them, insurrectionist and domestic terrorist and white supremacist, like, and you're seeing this. Now AOC comes out and makes on Zoom in our meeting and says, I am officially calling for the resignation of Kevin McCarthy and Josh Hawley and Senator Ted Cruz because they were all part of this. And I was scared for my life. They took my shoes. But then people are saying, I'm scared because I'm watching my city get burnt and my business destroyed. And they go, that's systemic racism. And they needed to do that because that's more important. Like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me, hold on, white kids going into minority neighborhoods, setting buildings on fire, and then minorities getting caught on camera looting that shit is systemic racism? Not systemic racism. The white people burnt the fucking building down. So if you want to say systemic racism, look at the fucking video.
It wasn't a Trump supporter who did it. It was a white kid that hates government and they want to claim something. They burnt down a minority business. That's what nobody's talking that. You went into a minority neighborhood and you burnt that motherfucker down. You didn't go to Beverly Hills. Well, you did in some places go to Beverly Hills. But if you really thought you're fighting systemic racism, you should have went into every fucking rich and high middle class neighborhood and burnt those motherfucking buildings down. Then you could have said, I'm fighting systemic racism. When you sit there and you burn down minority businesses and it's a white person that starts the fire and then everybody's on camera filming, you know, in a black community, black people in Hispanic communities, Hispanics robbing these stores, you say, look at these. No. You need to be talking about the people that started the bullshit. It was white fucking people that burnt down buildings in minority neighborhoods. That right there is it. You want to talk systemic racism? They fucking set them behind.
It's not systemic racism.
You know
that's
what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
Well, we know because we need to.
I'm using the buzzwords that they want.
No, we need to be very clear about what systemic means. It means it's part of the system, the governments, the laws, the
technically
procedures.
It's part of the Democratic. That's the Democrats right there. That's the Democrats. If you want to go into what you know, who was behind the KKK, the Democrats. But then we flip parties, right? So if you're saying that the Democrats are behind pushing this, right?
I don't know who's
then
behind
you can
it.
Say systemic racism, because if that's we're saying that's a wing, you know, the anarchist wing of the left.
Let me pull it back into what happened. So Rudy Giuliani came out saying that he, well, I don't know if he has evidence or something, but he came out saying, and Rudy Giuliani just doesn't say something if he doesn't have anything, right? He says there's around 200 Antifa people mixed in with the Trump crowd and that they incited the violence at the Capitol. Yeah. And so let me show you another video because, again, folks, we were painted this domestic terrorism narrative. And I want to show you something else. Does this look like these people? Oh God! It got taken down. What the video I was going to show you was you see people peacefully letting the cops go through, you know, and this was right in the middle of the steps up to the Capitol, and you know there was a huge crowd and the cops were you know just going up the stairs and people were like, oh, you know, just letting them go by. If this was a domestic terrorist attack, those cops would have been. If this was a BLM. Protest. Those cops would have been beat to a pulp. So please, the news media today, I'm not going to give them an inch. They're not going to get away with this bullshit because we need to start playing offense on this. And during all this time of Trump derangement syndrome, there's never been a need for 7,000 troops guarding the White House. So the DC. So you ask yourself, well, what's going on? Why? What are they preparing for? Now, another thing that's worth mentioning is that one of the guys that was, I think the guy who had got the Nancy Pelosi laptop, Christopher Stanton, Georgia. There's weird circumstances because, yeah, he ended up dead, but there's weird circumstances surrounding his death. And it has all the signs of a Clinton.
He supposedly killed himself.
Yeah, it's a Clinton-style suicide.
Wait. Rewind.
Jeremy doesn't know about this. I'm the only one that
follows
this.
I know that during the riot kerfuffle at the Senate, someone took Pelosi's laptop, and there was some conjecture as to whether it was the FBI or Antifa or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was identified as being, I'm sorry, Georgia? Somebody named Georgia?
Some guy named Christopher Stanton, Georgia. I don't know.
Christopher Stanton's story. Yeah. Okay.
Stanton, Georgia. Yeah. And so I don't know how much of that is true, how much of that has been confirmed. But
So he basically, he gets the laptop. Does he release any information on the laptop?
Or
he
just
decides to kill himself?
So I did a little reading on this Georgia guy and a little more. Nothing that I saw or read had anything to do with him getting the laptop, that he was just identified as in one of the videos or pictures. There's an older gentleman in his 50s standing. He's like stepping up to be next to one of the statues in the hall. And apparently, from what I was reading and seeing, that's the gentleman, this 50 something year old man, Georgia. I'm going to use his last name, Georgia, And they identified him, who, you know, by that video and those pictures, and arrested him. I never saw or read or heard anything about a laptop being involved, so other than they were just able to.
What people are speculating is that he's the guy who got the laptop.
Okay, maybe. It's speculation. Yeah, that's why I'm like, don't say, so he was arrested. They take him, they arrest him. He gets sent home on bond or whatever. And his wife says that she heard a gunshot in the basement of their home and went down to find that he had shot himself. Now, the article that I had read, the weapon to which he used to apparently kill himself with is like, we have one and there's no fucking way that I could use it to shoot myself in the chest, chest with the kind of firearm that this is.
My understanding was that they didn't find the gun initially. And it wasn't until investigation got there that they were able to find the gun. Now, let me play this video because
Wait. The point
is, let me get this straight. He shot himself and then hid the gun and then crawled back to die.
Exactly. It's like a shotgun style gun. It's a big, big gun. It's not a handgun.
All right.
Let me play this video of this guy who does a summary.
And he left a note
of this. Yeah.
Yeah. And there has been stuff from the Pelosi laptop leaking if you're on the right sites. But again, we don't know who or where or how factual it is or any of that kind of stuff, right? Because anything can be.
Yeah. Right now, there's a lot of. And I usually try to say speculation, right? There's speculation that this. But there's mysteries surrounding the circumstances which don't add up. And that's, again, That's the fingerprints of a Clinton-style suicide. So let me play this.
Yep. He was suicided. He was not.
And it was only a misdemeanor that he was going
to
get.
Yeah, it wasn't even felony. And he was like 52 or 53 years old.
I'm going to try to, in the most unbiased way, describe a true story. I just want you to tell me if anything sounds weird. Christopher Stanton, Georgia, participated in the January 6th D.C. riot. He was arrested after breaking the curfew and charged with a misdemeanor, to which he pled not guilty, and faced a maximum penalty of a $1,000 fine and or 180 days in jail. Christopher Stanton, Georgia, is also famously the man who came into the possession of Nancy Pelosi's personal laptop and notebook. A happily married man, a father of two, and described by his friends as a dedicated family man, he elected to kill himself, as was determined by Georgia's Fulton County coroner. He shot himself in the heart and died instantly. He killed himself alone in his basement with his family away, and when he was dying instantly, he flopped around, bled everywhere, and lost his gun. We do not know what happened. He might have accidentally dropped it out of the window of the basement, perhaps it went up a chimney, but the next morning when the police arrived, they were searching for hours to find the weapon. Eventually, they found two SKSs, semi-automatic rifles, which apparently he shot himself in the chest with.
So again, you know, this is obviously a TikToker who posts this, but you know, and it's done in a funny way, wasn't he also a veteran?
I thought I had read he was also a veteran.
To me, this is just another piece, another brick in the wall of mystery surrounding this whole bullshit. All right, let's move on, because another thing that I wanted to cover was Georgia Representative Taylor Green. And this, I like this. This is time to be on the offense here. Stop with the defense, because the Democrats have shown with, I was going to show you the AOC video of her crying. Oh, my life flashed before my eyes. Shut the fuck up. Oh, my God, this bitch. So, you know, AOC comes out saying that, you know, oh, my God, her life. And this is what they're going to do. They're going to paint any MAGA people as terrorists. So the Georgia representative, Taylor Green, comes out saying, hey, we're going to file articles of impeachment against Biden. Why? All the rhetoric from the summer. What's her name as well? All the Democrats. And they need to do this, and they need to show the evidence, and they need to continually play the audio of the Democrats. And every time the Democrats do something ridiculous like impeachment, I would say give them a counterpunch, you know, with counter impeachment. And like I said, highlight the words that they say. And then I would go further, give them an uppercut. Keep going after these fuckers. Conservatives, take the office, bro. I don't know how else to put it, man. I'm done with this shit. The media is obviously going to paint us as crazies. They're going to continue to try to censor free speech. And I like what some states are doing. And I know people are saying, well, no, that's a dangerous ground. Well, look, we didn't ask for this fight. The fight is here. You can continue thinking that everything's going to be fine if we just go vote and play by the Democrat rules.
It's not going to work. It's kind of interesting because everything you're seeing right now is all these people, because there's a lot of infighting in the GOP with the Liz Cheney's and the Dan Crenshaw's, where everybody fucking hates them now.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone's like, oh, the GOP is over. They've been gutted and they're going to. Wait a minute. Hold on. The GOP is not. Whatever the GOP turns into has not. It's not in bad shape. It hasn't been gutted, because let's look at it. We still have 50 Senate seats. We only lost three. One of them we knew we were going to lose with what's-her-face McSally, right? Whether they cheated in Arizona or not, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Then we lost the two in Georgia that we all expected to lose because
they cheated,
right? So the three ones that they cheated in to give the 50-50, and the tiebreaker goes to, you know, with the fucking twat, Kamala Harris, who Vogue screwed over. We gained so many seats back in the House. We won every race that we should have lost and gained. Okay. So in 2022, we have a good opportunity to take the majority back. Okay.
Yep.
We won in the locals, the state. We won so many state, so many state governments had flipped. New Hampshire flipped. But I think, you know what I mean? It's been Democrat forever. Like, we flipped so many. And this country, you know, is more conservative than this craziness. Yep. But
this is what's going to happen. And I think this is how they're going to be able to fight this, Tim, to your point, which is this is why they need to fight there at the local level. Start passing laws that are going to make these people, it's going to make it impossible for them to fucking cheat. This is what state legislators need to start doing, is say nope and go to the Supreme Court, fight. They need to fight. Take the offense. And like you said, you mentioned Dan Crenshaw, fucking turncoat. He got wrecked on social media. He's getting wrecked. He is a one-term fucking representative. He was spineless. Let me just show you one of his latest posts, and just to show you how people are just going after. Now, because this guy fucking posted a video of him. He was going to be a fighter and this and that. And in the end, he just
caved.
So he comes out saying why he came out saying why he opposed the impeachment, but he came out saying that he feels that Trump did contribute to the siege at the Capitol. Okay? But that wasn't enough to impeach him on. So let me show you the comments, dude. The comments, in every single comment, dude. Let me see here. Hold on. Oh, come on. Why can't I read this shit? Okay, so Dan, you're losing your base for 2024. Let me use it. Goodbye. You're just like the rest, Rhino. And it's like, shame on you, Dan. President isn't to blame. And it's just, this is all over. Every single comment is just blasting him. And then he goes on and he does a little pathetic move. And on top of every top commenter, what he does is he replies with a generic response and saying, you realize that I didn't vote for impeachment, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like every single comment, he goes in response to that. And it's like, bro, you're too late. This is, you know. He's just trying to do damage control, but he's done. He's fucking done.
But I'll tell you, the two biggest races in 2022, and the Democrats already have them in their sight, is Marjorie Greene Taylor and Laura Boebert. You know what I mean? Due to the fact of they're the counterpunches to the squad.
Oh, they
and
are.
Now. Every, you know, everybody in DC,
I like it,
but you know, and you know, oh, I love it, but you know what, all the crazies on the left are saying now, oh, I'm scared for my life. I think they're going to kill me. They actually are now saying that they feel that the Republican representatives, they feel threatened by them because they feel that they would kill them. And I'm just like, oh, okay. You,
any little bit of sympathy that I might have been able to give you, like, okay, maybe you're scared or whatnot, because if I'm AOC in them, I would have been scared shitless too if motherfuckers are running at me. You know what I mean? You have caused so much hatred that I agree, you should have been scared. But to say that your colleagues are going to kill you, you're out of your fucking mind, because now you're inciting even crazier shit that you're basically telling your people you know need to why go saying after that, right? them.
You know why they're saying that. They're, they said that because these girls, they pose with guns. And I think one of them was saying she was going to go, you know, she plans to take her gun in and to protect herself.
She's already been.
Yeah.
And they're all saying, because they put up the metal detectors after the Capitol siege, and she was going to the floor. They wouldn't let her. She wouldn't let them check her bag. And she made a whole big stink. And everyone's like, oh, see, law and order doesn't want law and order. It's like, no, bitch. And they were trying to say she illegally people that don't know shit were all saying, like, she should go to jail. She's carrying a firearm in D.C. illegally. She's like, you dummies. She's like, you do realize that I have a concealed weapon license through the city of Washington, D.C., so I may allow to conceal my weapon. You know, I have my work, my papers. So I got, you know, the FBI checked me out. I did all that. So shut the fuck up. And then that crazy Keith Olbermann is telling everybody that her mom was part of the Capitol siege. She's like, asshole, you need to retract it. She's like, my mom was in hiding. She was in lockdown with me inside the building. And Keith Olbermann is telling everybody, you know, spreading all this misinformation. And that guy's crazy. I don't know how he has not been booted. He's been inciting death threats and he doesn't get banned, but Trump gets banned for saying go in peace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I think what's coming, Trump is going to he's already going to declassify all the Obamagate shit, the Russian collusion, and that shit when it blows. And so what they're also saying is that he's preparing pardons that he's going to do. And he might assign a special prosecutor to investigate the Bidens. Oh, this shit is coming, dude. And I'm here for it. We're going to be here for it. Now, let's get down to we're going to review the movie. So Daily Wire came out with, they're in the entertainment business now. And I saw, what's his name? Tim doesn't like him. Ben Shapiro. Yeah, he's hard to stomach. Ben Shapiro. He came out saying, look, that, you know, we conservatives, we complain a lot about, you know, the left is taking over everything, and they're making a push. And I like that. And I got to give him props for that. They need to do that. We complain about it, and here's an opportunity to support something like that. And they came out with the movie Run, Hide, Fight.
He wanted to charge me $240 to sign up for his site. Not fuck you. I just want to watch the movie.
Shut the fuck up.
I was going through the checkout. It's like $240. I was like, whoa, wait a minute, guys.
You can't do a 1 month. Just do a 1 month and just be done and over with.
No, on my phone, it wouldn't let me do the 1 month, and I got tired of looking at it. Wanted to charge me $240. Okay, like,
Tim comes over to the house last night, and we watched with actually a couple of friends of ours were over also. So we all sat
down.
Tony and
TNS. Oh,
TNS. They wanted to get out of it because they thought it was another documentary.
I have to state that was on me. So that was on me. I thought originally, because you had mentioned it, I think, last week. You're like, you guys should watch this. Well, for whatever reason, I thought it was a documentary. And so I was like, yeah, it's a doc, whatever you want to call it, Nelson. And everyone's just like, oh, yeah, okay. And so we all sat down, and Tim was having a hard time getting it to stream.
Right.
And so we ended up watching an episode of The Mandalorian.
We're like, put on something else.
Oh, Jesus.
So we all watched an episode of The Mandalorian, and then Tim got it on there, and we started streaming it, and I saw the title, Run, Hide, Fight. I was like, oh, I saw a preview for that on, I think it was YouTube. Yeah. I'm like, this isn't a documentary. We're all like, oh, this isn't a doc. We're like, all right.
But the whole time, the friend, the friends, they were like,
don't we have to let the dogs out?
No, we got
to
let the dogs out.
It's 8 o'clock like, at night. The dogs have been locked up all day.
And I'm laughing. Yeah. I'm like, y'all stay for this shit. So like, how long is this? I'm like, 2 hours. They're like, Yeah. You heard the sigh, like,
yeah. I was sitting, so in the way our living room is set up, I was sitting behind the guys. The guys, okay. I let them have the couches in front, and I'm sitting, I've already got stuff stacked up next to me to keep me busy and entertained during this documentary, because and Jeremy's trying to blame Shauna and Tony. They're like, wait. We're watching what tonight? And Jeremy's like, yeah, Heidi. And I was like, oh, hell no. You're not fucking roping me into this. Yeah. Blaming me for this whole setup, right? The reason Tim's there to watch his documentary for podcasting. I was like, no.
Blame you.
Oh, yes,
that?
You did. Yeah, you did. Yes, you did.
And I was like, no, Jeremy. I was like, you definitely said, like, oh, yeah, Tony's trying to be fine with that. I'm like,
Tim had my back for once. Put that, but let's make sure we get that on the calendar.
Anyway, overall, it
was excellent.
We get it going. We start watching it. And within probably the first 30 minutes of the show, Shauna and Tony are texting their family. You guys got to watch this.
Yes.
Oh my God. I swear to God, Shauna asked at least three times, what was the name of this again?
Yeah.
What was the name of this? She's texting people. You got to watch this.
Yeah. And we kept saying the wrong name every time. Yeah. We're like, fight, run, hide.
No. So
I finally sent her the link.
I'll tell you this. I did the same thing, you know, because I was like, okay, well, you know what? Because I saw the promotions for it. And then I get the notification, you know, because I'm signed up with Daily Wire, and I get the notification that the movie's premiering, and I'm like, oh shit, let me start watching it. So I start watching it, and it's just like nonstop adrenaline. Like the whole thing is like, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of it is when I text you guys, and like, you guys got to watch this. I texted it everywhere. I did the same thing. I'm like, you guys got to watch. It's a great movie. From what I've seen from conservative movies, because I've watched, you know, movies that are made, Christian movies that get made and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes the quality and the acting. I like this one, man. It's not what I expected. So maybe I had my expectations a little low. And when I watched it, I was like, okay, well, this is actually pretty good. And then it just started getting better. And then towards the end, I'm like, hell yeah, yeah. And then, you know, so I don't know. Do we want to do spoilers here? Or should we just let people watch it?
I know. It's not a spoiler. It's not a spoiler. I mean, we could talk about it without, about the present, the moral of the story. Okay. But, you know, I mean,
the internal battle.
Look, let me set it up because, you know, that way, and then we'll talk about what happened. So, look, again, Ben Shapiro, there's a culture war going on. Hollywood dominates everything. I was telling you guys, I cannot watch a show without being inundated with leftist bullshit, right? And so what is the alternative? You know, let's promote conservative movies. Because like we said, the left ruins everything. From Ghostbusters. You guys remember that female's Ghostbuster bullshit?
You know what? I remember hearing about it, but nobody ever talks about it anymore because it's the worst movie they've ever made.
Ever. Anyway, so
I think it was a flop.
I don't think
so. We know that the left right now they're gonna bombard all of Hollywood. We're gonna be, so it's time. Now the movie, like we've all said, it's intense. It's rated M, right, for mature. So it's not like a,
yes,
this is not your typical Christian conservative. No, this is there's some scenes there that are not good for kids. And I think that the girl that they casted, I forgot her name. She did a good job. You know, the lead
act, Veronica something.
Veronica. So the premise of the movie, it's basically a school shooting that takes place. And with the backdrop of everything that we see going on with social media, you know, the glorification of violent people, you know, and so all these things are in that movie, but there's a conservative message. And let me ask you guys this, and this is what I found, what I'm interested in. What do you guys think the message ultimately is, right? Because to a certain extent, there's vigilantism, and there's, you know, everything that you about a hero, right? What do you think the ultimate message was in the movie, and if there is one?
That everybody should know how to shoot a gun.
Okay. Yeah.
The reason why I say that is you always got to look at the beginning of a movie. The beginning of a movie sets up kind of like the characters and, you know, like where their mind is. So right away, he takes her hunting for a deer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's her first kill. I don't know. But she's got the sniper rifle and everything. And he's telling her, you know, he's in your sight. You got to wait for it. The perfect shot. Boom. The deer looks up. Boom. She kills him. Then they go over the deer. The deer is suffering. Hey, I'm not giving away too much, guys. I'm not giving away.
Yeah, like, you can see this in the preview.
So anyway, she's looking at the deer, and he's explaining, you know, the whole history, you know, the whole presence. He's like, you know, in, you know, nature, you know, do we let it bleed out and whatnot? And he's like, I was hoping we didn't have to go through this to where you were going to see the your animal suffer for your first kill. And she literally goes, grabs a rock, and fucking kills the deer. And he's like, oh, shit.
But
he was teaching her see what I got out of was he was teaching her the right way to hunt, the right way to shoot, the respect of it, not just I'm gonna kill everybody. Like there's a respect behind it, and respect the gun, respect what you're killing, and that, you know, you still gotta have sympathy to what you're killing.
Right.
You
know? He also one of the things that I noticed was he was teaching her not just what to do, but why we do it.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
He's explaining to her the animal is dying. Its lungs are filling with blood. It's going to slowly die in pain. We don't want that. And so he's not just saying, you know, kill it again, you know, finish it off.
Right.
He's explaining why we're doing that.
Right. Have compassion. Yeah.
It was also that they weren't just killing it to kill it. They weren't just killing it to go hunting and they were doing it to feed themselves. Right. Like he says, because there's clearly a financial struggle happening with the family of some sort in the very beginning. You don't know what it is. I mean, you find out in the beginning, but not immediately. And he says, this deer is going to give us enough food for most of the year. Mm-hmm. And so they're not just out hunting for fun or for glorification. He's teaching his daughter survival skills. He's teaching his daughter. And again, one of the things I love is because, yes, there's a lot of conservative things there, but it's his daughter. It's a girl. So he's still promoting some of that social justice piece.
Okay.
Of it's my female, it's a daughter, it's not a son. Like they could have done the same thing with a boy. Why didn't they? Why did they choose a girl, a beautiful blonde little girl, you know, that has her own internal struggles and dad's teaching her things about.
I agree with what you just said, Heidi, and this was the point that I was going to make, which is a lot of times, and we see this in some movies, if we could contrast it, you know, where they show that this is wrong. Right. That, you know, they paint this as hunting is wrong, or teaching a child, your kids, self-defense or how to properly use a gun. Like Tim says, to me, it's a beautiful message, especially that he was able to do that with his daughter, because that's what he knows what to do. Right. He's good at that. He's a good hunter. And so he's instilling these values in his daughter. That is a great message. When in today's modern age, people are like, well, why would you? That's scary. That's not good. You know what I mean? Like there's a negative connotation to that message. And I don't think there is. I think this is a beautiful message. Like Heidi says, this is a good thing. And it's a good thing to instill, especially, you know, on a daughter. And think about the backdrop of the daughter doesn't have a mom. Right. And to me, when I first saw the mom, I didn't know it was the ghost. and you know, because that first scene you see her, she's in the kitchen or whatever. And she's sitting down having breakfast. And, you know, she's talking to her mom. And then the dad walks in and then the mom is gone. And my first reaction was, wait, what did I miss?
Where'd she go?
Then I realized, I'm like, oh, okay, it's the ghost, you know, the mom's ghost that she's talking to.
They hit upon that because the dad walks in and goes, who are you talking to? She's like, I'm just talking to a fly or something. And you're like, a fly? What?
You know what? You know, it's funny, that opening scene. And you know what was interesting was, as I'm watching that scene, I actually can see internally in both of you some smiles there, because right away I thought of the twins.
Yeah.
You know, like how you guys have taught them how to shoot, you know, understand how guns work and, you know, that's not a toy, you know, not how to go hunting, but just you've taught them the basics. You've taught your girls how to defend themselves. And one of them wound up stabbing herself in the process.
Oh, my God. There's a lot more to it than that. Thank you. Jesus.
Thank you. I'm just kidding.
Sorry, CNN.
I'm just kidding. But anyway, that was a good joke. But they understand how to protect themselves, right? Like when we were talking over the summer and they were like, yeah, somebody comes to this house, they're going to have a lot of guns pointed at them. And I was like, and you're like, oh, the twins actually, they know where the guns are, where the locks are. They know how to. They understand that they're not to touch anything unless it's a dire emergency and all this stuff.
Right. But then I start thinking, I'm like, huh, why don't more people teach their kids about this? Right. They, you know, because when I told my mom, you know, she was like, oh, the twins are great. I said, yeah, they're badass. They know how to shoot guns. She was like, what? I was like, because, you know, when you grow up, I was like, right. Yeah, I said, they got their own AK. They know how to shoot. But it blew her mind away. But I'm like, you want kids to understand.
Yeah.
If you teach people.
People have this theory that if they keep their kids away from guns, they'll be safe from guns. That's not the case at all.
It's wrong.
You hear about kids. I remember when I was a kid, 10, 11, 12 years old, you'd hear stories about how kids would go over to their friend's house and the friend's parents would have a gun and the visiting kid would find the gun and accidentally shoot themselves or accidentally shoot their friend or whatever because they would find the gun and play with it. That's never going to happen in our house. First of all, they're all locked up in a safe.
Yeah.
Second of all, our daughters would be like, what the hell are you doing?
The same people.
Put that away.
The same people who say that, Jeremy, who are like, well, you know, we got to keep the guns away from the kids because, you know what I mean? Like that's how they're going to be safe. Well, these same people will advocate for, well, these kids are going to have sex, so might as well teach them about condoms. And it's like, okay, well, kids are going to find a gun someday. It's good that they know how a gun is used. A gun is just a tool. And people need to understand this. And to me, teaching that lesson as early as you can is ideal because, like we've said, there's so many guns out there and this is one of our fundamental rights. And people need to be aware of it. Like Tim says, respect the power of it. Look, in this movie, one thing I found myself doing over and over again was saying yes, yes, especially at the end. I was saying yes, because when she goes after the killer and then it references back to the beginning, how Tim mentioned, which is, and you ask yourself, okay, look, she goes after him, right? She's not going to let him get away because he was about to get away because you guys know what happened. But for the listener, watch this movie. It's a great movie. But so for the benefit of those who have watched it, she goes after him and because she shoots him, right? And then he's just laying there in pain. His lungs are filling with blood and all that. Now, what does she do? Because the message at the beginning was, you have compassion on this animal, on this innocent animal, and you take away, remove its misery. Right, because that's not it's not a compassionate to let the animal suffer.
He didn't deserve to suffer.
Exactly, but does she do that for this kid?
No, because he deserves to suffer.
Exactly, but see, not only did he deserve to
eye
die,
for an eye, man.
Not only did he deserve to die. In the logic there, to me, and it's a beautiful message, is not only did you deserve to die, you deserve to suffer because you made others suffer. And to me, I love that message. But see, this is something Hollywood would have never made. And so when I saw that, I'm like, yes, hell yes. I love it.
So they have movies. I mean, there's he followed the same format.
Yeah.
But clearly it was just it's a different message. That the whole time watching, I'm like, you knew how this was going to end. I either figured she was going to die, you know, kill him and then die at the, you know, and die as part of it as like she got like that final shot and, you know, she just stayed alive long enough to fucking kill him and then she died too. Or that she was just going to, because you've seen the format. This is not anything new. It's just the message just seemed totally different. Like seeing it with not from a woke perspective where she's doing flips and this and that. Like it was like survival. You know what I mean? Like it felt real. You know what I mean? It just felt like...
Oh, yeah, because we were researching. We're like, holy shit, is this based on a true story? Like, that's how real it felt. Is that we were... Shauna was looking on her phone to see Tony.
Everybody
was looking to figure out, is this real? Is this what happened? But there were certain things in the movie that clearly were not in any of our history that... You know, the history that's trying to be erased, but, you know, we'll leave that.
There was also another piece here, and I'm curious to know what you guys think, which is the kid who somewhat redeems himself, right? So the kid is the chubbier kid, and he tells his story on why he's there, right? He wants to get back at everybody who laughed at him, right?
When he was little.
And he carried that throughout all his life. Because look, what we always hear is this message is try to understand the killer, right? Every time we see anything that like Columbine, people always approach it from the, you know, the killer is as much counted a victim of the whole thing as everybody else. And to me, it's like, no, you separate the killer from the people who are murdered. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got to separate those two. But whenever they report something, oh, these many people died, and it's like, no. These many people were killed, and this is the guy who killed them. You see what I'm saying? Like, anyway, so here's the kid. He offers up a story as to why he pursues this path. And then, you know, he's captured or whatever. And then she gives him a choice. She's like, here's your opportunity to redeem yourself of this. What do you guys think about? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so it goes a little further than that. So the kid that you're describing as a teenager, he remembers being bullied, basically what today mm-hmm. we're calling bullying, bullied in elementary school. And he specifically names a teacher and like three other students or something like that. And she looks at the young man, and she said, before she gives him the choice, remember, he's like, before she comes back for him, right? And she says to him, wait a minute, do you know if they were really laughing at you?
Yeah.
Do you know if they were referring to you? Because of the setting, it could have been anything. It didn't have to specifically be him. He just took it personally, right? Because, you know, he interpreted it one way. It was his perspective. And she looks at him and like almost opens his eyes to say, how do you know it was you? It was an auditorium full of people, and there was this event going on, and so you're singling yourself out. What makes you so special that you're the one that they were laughing at? What about the other people first? Then secondly, she says, because of three people, four people that you are presuming, but you're making an assumption about, basically, you have just went to kill how many innocent people that weren't there. And like, she talks about the one young lady he shot,
yeah,
and she wasn't even there. She wasn't, she had nothing to do with it. And yet you felt like it was okay to kill her and to let her suffer, to shoot her. And she suffered through the death. Like, she didn't die immediately. And then she leaves, and then she, you know, comes back to give him this choice to say, okay, here's your chance to redeem yourself, because you're going to get caught, you're going to go to jail, or you're going to be killed. At least redeem yourself. And she almost kind of twists it to redeem yourself with the man upstairs, because mm-hmm. there is no other way to redeem yourself. Right.
Right.
So what I liked about that scene, it, you know, first of all, you got to give the context, the kids that did this. And that's why it felt so real. It wasn't like a billionaire crazy, you know, like it wasn't right. some elitist that decide. These were distraught children that had some psychological issues. They had self-esteem issues. You know, they had, you know, they were on meds, some of them, you know, like they just were the quote unquote outcast that have issues with being, you know, an adolescent. And that's what felt really real, was because you got to hear their stories. Normally, you're like, why are you doing this? Oh, just because you're the pretty girl and you just kill. Like, you were mentally and physically, you were mentally, emotionally, and physically torturing them based on what your hatred towards the whole thing, making live stream, call their parents, put their parents through this. It felt so real. And those are the kids that do this most of the time, but they get portray, oh, they're just a crazy Nazi or the no, they're, you have to look at it and go,
yeah,
there's other deeper issues here that we never know about them. We never know that they, you know, were bullied in school, or what, you never know why they did it. You know what I mean? And when you got to hear their stories, why you don't sympathize with them, but you're going, now you can understand where
the system's
broken, how it happens. Because
I'm gonna
when he's talking to the guidance counselor, like when he's talking to the guidance counselor, he's like, I was in your office and you were basically staring out the window, not giving a shit about me, saying how much of a lowlife is. And now you're trying to backtrack to save everybody and make deals with me. Like, I was crying out for help then, and you didn't help me. I'm not saying what he did was right, but if you were my last hope because my mom is, you know, whatever, I'm not getting it there, I'm not getting it here, and all I'm doing is being criticized, eventually that's when the insanity takes over.
See, you know what I'm saying? Look, I interpreted that a little bit different. And let me tell you why I think the that I like the message better. See, the and you're talking about the lead kid. I forget his name was. Kyle. I forget what the guy.
Tristan.
The main leader. Now, if you remember, towards the end, when he leaves the crowd and he takes that kid with him, who looks like him, and who he was going to, you know, basically. Him yeah. be the scapegoat, essentially, you know, have him his body burn, and then people be like, oh, that was him. And so to me, you know, yes, there's a level of maybe pain that he was going through or whatever he was going through, but that step at the end, to me, proves that he was cruel. Sorry, I gotta mute these things. So that he was cruel, and that the character himself is unlikable and should be unlikable. So, because if you remember during the movie, somewhere towards the middle, him and the girl have an interaction, and she tells him,
I love that interaction.
She tells him that, you know what I mean? Like, he won't be remembered because he, you know, well, he wants
on,
to be.
Hold yeah, go no, ahead. No, 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 go no, ahead, no, Jeremy, no, hold explain on. Before, it. Yeah. So basically, the whole time, as soon as they take over the school, he tells everybody, get out your phones, start streaming this. He's an attention whore. He wants
exactly
the attention that he's going to get from this. He wants, he's feeding off of it.
Which, and pause, so, Jeremy, pause. I'm going to let you finish. Time, I'm going to let you finish, but pause. But, no, but you, the reason I like that they do that is because think about every single school mass murdering that has happened. That is the goal, right? And when we sensationalize these people, it only makes them do it more, right? A lot of times we contribute to this by being glued to the TV because we need to have more of it. And I think what this movie does is it glorifies the person who was brave enough to do the right thing, right? And I that's why I like that message, because no, it doesn't glorify the killer. It glorifies those who have courage in the face of adversity, in the face of danger. And I love that. Go ahead, Jeremy. Right. Say
So basically what happens is they find the guy who has the most people viewing, right? He had like over 1,000 people viewing it, and they kind of commandeer his phone. And Tristan, the asshole, is constantly talking to that phone. You know, he's always playing it up to the camera. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And at some point, the girl gets that phone. And she is talking to him through that live stream back into the cafeteria. And she says, I know this is pissing you off because, number one, they're not going to remember you. Mm-hmm. They're going to remember me. And you can just see how it just flips in his mind like,
think about it. You know, this is a kid. Yes. So these are kids that have been, you know, quote unquote, you know, ostracized, bull, you know, or in their minds, they're seeing all this and they've been living with it. Right. They don't get that attention. So when this was their big, in the beginning, you realize this is their cry out for attention, right? I'm getting my retribution. Eyes are on me now. You guys have looked over me for so many years. Eyes are on me and it's payback, right? And using that fear. So you see that you've seen that in other characters where they use that fear, you know, to get the views, right? I forget that stupid ass movie where, this was taken from a movie. I can't remember which one it was. And it was a good movie too. But anyway, so you see that, but then, when they realize, again, normally the power always relies in the killer. They always have control. And now what you're seeing is, when you take control away from somebody, you see what happens. They become even more unhinged. They make mistakes. Right. And that's where I can say what makes me realize that this is real. I felt more real because I feel like we've been watching it for the last four years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of like, when you see all these people in power losing control, they start making mistakes and they do stupid shit. You know what I mean? Like,
for no reason.
Yeah. But like, you see like the craziness coming out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I just, everything just felt really real and relatable. You know what I mean? Like, when I watch a Hollywood movie, I'm like, billionaire fucking dressed up as a bat. Okay, yeah, okay. It's a good action movie, but this seemed real. Like, it felt like a real story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, we've heard of these things, but
I like how in the end they did make him the coward that that a lot of these people are, because they're cowards. Because he didn't stay in there, and he didn't, you know, he didn't stay with the bomb, and he wasn't going to die with those people. He just wanted the fame without the sacrifice. You know, if we think about this, right, you know, in a kind of distorted way, and he was going to get away with this, and he wanted his name out there, but he still wanted to be able to go and watch it and enjoy whatever joy he got from that. And the lead character takes that away from him, and he suffers. And I'm like, hell yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. The other three people that took over the school with him, do you think he was going to leave them in the cafeteria to 100%. Die with everybody?
Oh, yes.
100%.
Yes.
That was the goal. Oh, okay.
Yes.
He was able to manipulate them.
Yeah.
You know, see, and that's the
right.
thing. You
no,
didn't get the
no,
whole story.
I was
he
just
was able to manipulate
if you guys
them
had that
with,
opinion or not.
Oh, yeah.
No,
he was out for himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got three people that were outcasts. Use their weaknesses against them.
Yeah.
He had an intimate relationship with the one guy's sister.
And
then
the guy.
That one other guy, and the guy was trying to make out with, and he's like, whoa, you know, we have a bigger job, you know?
Right.
So he was using the manipulation of everything. And that's where he was a true psychopath.
Yeah.
The other ones were misguided.
And you know,
and easily.
I think the other reason why it feels so real or so true too is because he is, Tristan truly is a psychopath. But he's freaking intelligent, and you hear about that in history when you look at like Dahmer and what was the other
Nancy
one?
Nancy Pelosi.
no,
Manson.
I mean
Manson,
serial
Charles
killers.
Manson.
They are highly intelligent men, highly intelligent men, but just freaking crazy.
And not just
intelligent,
but they're charismatic because they get a following, and that's one of the things that they
Jack and Zuckerberg. They have a huge following.
Yeah. And like to Jeremy's point, you know in the end that he had no intentions because when he gets that box as he's getting before she kills him and he takes the box down, it's got his, you know, passport or ID card, his thing of money, it's all just him. He stashed it, but clearly he was not taking any of those associates
it.
With him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why he took the kid. So that's why he took the kid to die. No matter. Right. That was always the final for him. He was going to go, I got to take care of that one last thing. And it was going to be, he died. The kids died. He gets off.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah.
The whole point was to blow everybody up and him get away with it.
Yeah.
And look, plot foiled.
It was a great look. I obviously
great movie.
For those
great
who movie. Haven't watched it, we may have spoiled it for you. But look, it's a film worth watching, especially again if you want to support Conservative Values. I was prepared for this movie to not be good, and it surprised me. It was a really well done, and I'm definitely I signed up for the Daily Wire, and I hope they put out more content like that. It is worth supporting. All right, we're gonna move on. And like we do on every episode, we are going to leave this on a happy note. So
happy note.
Do you guys know the game Among Us? Tim, you might know this one.
Heard
Among of Us? It, but
yeah, the girls play it.
Okay, all right. So for the listener, if you don't know what the Among Us is, basically, I'm going to give you a summary of it. So it's an online multiplayer game. It takes place in a space theme setting. Players get assigned one of two roles. Some are teammates and others are what are called imposters. So on every round, the objective is to identify the imposter and vote them out. And while you're doing that, you're solving some tasks on a map. Well, while the game is being played, no one can hear each other, right? It's only after each round or if somebody calls in a meeting that you can discuss and vote who you think is...
the imposter.
Yeah. So it's exactly. So after each round, you got to vote who the imposter is. Now, while the game is being played, the imposter's goal is to kill as many people as he can and win the round, basically. Right. So
such a game.
Look. So if you're assigned the imposter, you know, for a round, you have to kill your teammates, but you have to do it strategically. Right. So that no one else can know that you did it. So you got to, you know, while you're solving puzzles, there's somebody who's trying to kill you, and it could be anybody, right? So knowing that, I want to show you this video, which cracked me up, dude, because knowing that game, let me play this.
I'd be like the Leroy Jenkins in there. I'd just go try to go raccoon everybody.
Watch this.
All in one shot.
Everyone went to the right. Right? What are we looking at, Admin? Sophie. What the fuck are you doing? Sophie! No! No, Sophie! Sophie! Stop!
So she's trying to kill him, huh?
Stop! Yeah. Go the fuck away!
Can you
away!
Fight back enough?
Just watch.
Stop! Jesus! Stop! No! No! Help!
She kills him. She kills him in front of everybody. I like that.
So you're not allowed to fight back?
No, they can kill you. So. No. You can't. The only person who can kill is the imposter. And so,
how do you get away from him?
That's what he did. You run.
You gotta keep running.
So, but, okay, look. The goal was that she kills him when nobody's watching. But she's so spiteful that she killed him in front of everybody. because he got away from her. So she ends up killing him. Obviously, she got it voted on the round because, yeah, you're the imposter, definitely. Hey, let me watch it. Let's watch this again. It's worth watching again. It's freaking hilarious.
That would be me. I'd be like, no!
You know what? No, you'd be the one killing. You'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to kill you regardless. Just watch this again.
Everyone went to the right. Right? What are we looking at, Admin? Sophie. What the fuck are you doing? Sophie! No! No, Sophie! Stop! Go the fuck away! Stop it!
Scream!
Ah! No! No! Help!
So basically, he should be safe now that he's with all of his friends.
Yeah, but she kills him anyways.
But she's like, yeah, whatever.
She kills him.
But you don't see him actually dying.
No, yeah, I don't think she killed him.
No. The video doesn't show it, but the actual one.
And it's not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it just me or is that not Sophie? Is it Boppy?
Yeah, no, but her name's Sophie.
Her real name is okay.
Yeah, because they're friends and they're playing the game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why the girls will be sitting there with their friends and they're like, ready, go in this room, quick. Here's the code.
We took all the girls to the Christmas farm thing out in Chandler, wherever it was. And on the way back, they were playing that. And there's like four of them. And they're all like, all right, I'm the imposter. And you're like, wait. You're not supposed to
do each other. Honestly, we should do that one night.
We should play
and
that.
And get drunk doing it.
We should play
and do it drunk.
And record it.
And record it.
No, but the problem is that while the game is going on, you can't hear each other. Right, because you can't be talking.
Yeah, we can record each other.
Yeah, you can record yourself individually, but the thing is, like, it's only when you have a meeting or after somebody gets killed that you then you get like, okay, who did it? Who's the imposter, guys? And so you got to vote.
Yeah, but not for nothing. We can actually do it right in here.
Yeah.
You could be on Zoom, and we're all doing it, be like, yeah, blah, 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 girls, and everybody just starts screaming. Yeah,
the girls will sit next to each other. The girls will all sit with each other, and they'll be playing, and they'll be like, no, don't look at my phone, don't look at my phone. And they're trying to hide the screens from each other so that they don't know. And
call up Wendy and everybody and like just do it all in a massive.
That
would
be it'd be an awesome game to play. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on not all the social media platforms anymore. We're going to be on Gab, Rumble, Parler, if it ever comes back. Where are we on now? Also, Telegram. Yeah.
You know the guy from Parler had to go into hiding from all the death threats and everything?
He had to move
his family out of his house.
It's insane, dude. It's freaking scary. We're living in crazy times. All right. Give us a follow, hit the like button, share some of the content, and we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Hide your identity. They're coming for you.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord.